This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel.
Well, welcome back. If you're joining us on the heels of the Faithless Forum Meet the Speakers, welcome back. If you're joining us for the first time tonight, welcome to the show. We're here, just like we were here last time. And just like last time, we are surprisingly absent. The very bold and very sure of themselves team of Standing for Truth and Raw Matt. Dave is going to put up a picture. Well, let me not be rude first. Hello, Aaron. Welcome back.
Evening.
And Steve.
Hey, I don't know if the outside chat heard this, but before, like between the intro, I think Aaron was pouring a beer, and I swear to God, I thought somebody was taking a piss. Were you pouring something?
Oh, that was me.
The outside. Oh, that was you. Okay, somebody was pouring something, and I literally thought somebody just couldn't wait. And I'm like, oh, my God, somebody's peeing, and it's going to go live.
Yeah, it's been a while since you know we started the show about 2 hours ago. I've had to go, Steve.
Hey, no, I don't judge, man.
I did a podcast with these guys where this guy was, like, in a dorm room or something, and his bathroom was, like, right around the corner. The bathroom door was, like, right there where the computer was. And so because he's alone in his apartment, he left the door open. We're doing a live podcast. And we're listening to him pee standing up in his toilet. Then he comes immediately back and sits down. Like we all know he didn't wash his fucking hands, right?
Oh, no.
And yeah, and he was here for dental school. Like, you're fucking oh, dentist.
No. Oh, no. Oh, that's awful.
I hope you don't have any patience.
So here's the deal. Last week, Aaron was with us, and Raw Matt eventually came in. Raw Matt, we closed out. We agreed that we were going to do Tuesdays because they have a long list of, I believe it's 100 things that disprove evolution. Very detailed paper. And we were all in agreement. And last night I sent a message saying, remember tomorrow at 9:30, we're going to be starting that the thing. All was good. And then I got an email about, it was 2:30 in the morning last night. And Dave will throw what Standing for Truth said tonight first, Dave, so that we can see this. And you might have to read that, Dave, because I can't read it.
I can't read it either.
It's blurry. Dave.
Yeah, that's.
Let me unmute real quick and I'll read it.
Yeah.
Okay. It says, Standing for Truth. I was never asked to go on, nor will I. Way too short of notice. We have our three-part video series. I'll see how well they handle it, and we will see if Aaron is finally willing to participate in structured debate.
Mm. Okay, now, funny that that's...
Finally
that that's,
willing that, to participate in structured debate.
Yeah. Now, he did a video about
By the way,
did that,
y'all see the structured debate that I had just like 3 days ago?
Yes, in the church.
I like how people tell me that I won't have a structured debate. You know, I've done them. This was a live audience moderator and everything.
We've done them here, too.
That was the full nine yards.
We've done structured debates here, too. So,
but see, yeah. that's not
what I had planned to do was Raw Matt, whatever his name is, it gave us this list of he said he had 100 disproofs of evolution, and he had already confessed an awful lot. He didn't realize how he painted himself into a corner on the things he'd admitted to. But, you know, we have that recording, and so I was going to press him on those. And I actually took the time to, like, make notes and make references and look at this first handful of disproofs of what he thinks. And this was going to be a great time. Now, I don't know about structured debate, because the structure of this was that this was not going to be a debate. A debate is where two people get equal time to talk. Well, in this case, their time was in putting up these 100 proofs. And the arrangement was with me and Raw Matt was that he and I were going to go through that list, and I was going to show him how all of it was bullshit, every single claim. And I looked at the first five, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be so much fun. What an idiot. He is in for it. And I guess he figured that out, too, and that's why he's not here.
Well, actually, it's an interesting thing, because if you remember last week, Standing for Truth kind of shoved Raw Matt in here. You know, it's like, I'm too busy. You go in there and take care of this. So let's see what happened this week with Raw Matt. Dave, if you'll put up the email that I got at 2:30 last night. And I'll read this. It says, I'm going to read it to you. It says, Standing for Truth wanted me to give you an update. He said he will be willing to come onto your show to replace me, but only if you let him reply. He said otherwise he will not come on, nor should I, for a few reasons. He said that I was talked over every time, even when I was asked a question. I was interrupted on almost everything as well. He thought it made us look like we didn't have an answer or we just conceded. So he said if you or Steve agree to somewhat moderate and prevent interruptions as much as possible between Arn and him, or even perhaps a two-minute back and forth, whichever you decide, then he will come onto the channel and take my place. It seems like he really wants to do this. I am basically representing his channel because I don't have one of my own, so I need to respect his request to, and I think he would rather fill in for me anyway by the sounds of it. So if you agree to have him on and to have equal time, whatever it may be, then he will take my place and have a war against Aaron on any subject. And consider this, Standing for Truth is a huge Kent Hovind follower. So Aaron will get to ask those list of questions he was going to ask me. I think it will be more heated as a debate as well, because I am more calm than Standing for Truth. He is not so much. He refers to evolution as pond scum to people and SpongeBob science and thinks evolution is not science at all, but just storytelling. I actually think the opposite. I think evolutionists love science so much that they accept every aspect of it fully, almost without question. I'm also certain it would get... I'm also certain it would get you far more views than I could bring, as I am nowhere near as popular as Standing for Truth is online right now. I just want to send this to you ASAP, since I just taught to standing for truth, and he told me all of this. I don't want to throw Aaron any last-minute curveballs, but would rather him have those questions ready to go for standing for truth and get ready for this war.
So what you're telling me is that creationists lied.
Consistently.
Yes.
All.
Without reservation.
Myself with shock. I can't tell you what a surprise. All right,
we didn't want to break it to you this way, man. We were hoping you were going to find out a different way that creationists lie.
I want to
explain something. So when he's talking about being talked over and being interrupted, this was going to be an interrogation where I ask him questions using the Socratic method to get him to understand certain things. I do have to explain certain things because neither one of them knows dick about Jack. So there does have to be some explanation. But at the end of that explanation, they have to acknowledge whether they understand or accept that thing. And then we can move on. And what they want to do, realizing, obviously, the dead end that will inevitably lead to, is they're going to want to put up all kinds of obfuscations, bring up shit that isn't in the list. But in this case, they have to defend that list. And both of them obviously know that neither one of them can, and nobody can, defend that list.
Right. He literally says in that email, I just talked to Standing for Truth. Standing for Truth seems like he wants to take my place in this. That's why I'm writing this email. And so I wrote back to him. I said, you can tell me whichever one you would like to do. It doesn't matter to me. You both can come on if you want to. So I said, I don't have a preference the other way. You're both in it together because you're both making these videos together. So as long as one of you are here, that's fine. But you both can come on if you want. Like, we'll have both of you on. And so for standing for lies to act like he is, this is the first he's heard about it and it being last minute. That's not my problem, dude. You need to talk to your friend and your pal and your cohort that you're writing a book with, because apparently you're not on the same page, pardon the pun. We're here. You have the links.
Yeah.
Raw Matt, you, I assume, set aside this time to do this. I don't know why you're not in here. I mean, I know why you're not in here, but I don't know why you can't come in here or give me something better than this, because apparently either one of two things is happening here. Either this was completely false and you did this as a way to, for whatever reason, push the blame off on Standing for Truth, or Standing for Truth is just blatantly lying about this is the first he heard about it. Either way, one of you is dishonest, and you either need to just go ahead and cough up the fact that you're not going to be able to back up the things that you say in your videos and what you said here last week. Because after this, if you're not – either one of you coming in, we're done. Like, we're not going to take you seriously anymore. We're not going to have any more of these conversations. The structured debate thing, all of that bullshit is out the window, because this is the second fucking time that we have sat here and waited on – you two guys who claim that you have the truth about creationism and that it trumps evolution and that you have all of the proof to negate it, but you're not in here doing it.
Yeah, anybody
what's,
read,
that, what's, that, their, what's the time of that stamp read on an email?
Any of their 100 proofs? Their 100 proofs are so fucking stupid.
No, I sent you, first of all, when's the last time we heard from Matt? How long has it been?
It was last night at 2:30.
Okay, so nothing today. All right. So anyways, I haven't read the 100 things, and it's probably going to be like the 200 thing Eric Dabai has for the Flat Earth, useless stuff. But I did send you their book.
Well, it's astoundingly bad. I mean, it's really bad.
Did you happen to look at their online?
I looked at the first handful of them. Every claim is not just wrong. It's embarrassingly dumbass.
It's potato. I mean, it is literally potato.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when they say in one of them that there's I don't want to give away the whole thing, but I mean, every claim is
wrong.
Demonstrably off the charts stupid. There's no justification. Here's one where they say that all beneficial mutations have been recently discovered to be epigenetic and not mutations at all.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
The CCR Delta 32 mutation is a mutation. It's not an epigenetic mutation, which is a methylation.
We know what gene it was, and we know what type of mutation it was, and the direct effect of that mutation. We've got that identified in several of these. None of them have ever been found to be epigenetic. I mean, how can you how can you identify a mutation as being epigenetic? But I mean, that's just one of them.
I don't know.
Every one on that list is profoundly fucking stupid. Like one, this says that one of the disproofs of evolution is the human chimpanzee genetic comparison, because they think on their 100 items chart, they think that the human chimpanzee genetic comparison is 86.7%.
Oh, no.
It's
Do you know where they get that from? 99.4. Right.
Or depending on how you do the arrangement, because there are different ways of doing this comparison, it can be 96. It depends on which type of comparison you're doing. But in either case, 93% would be the genetic compatibility for all apes and, say, rhesus monkeys. And they're saying it's 86 point something? No. There's no way they've got any scientific backing for any of this. It's completely pulled out of their asshole.
No, it's wrong, but I know where they get it from. What happened was Dr. Thompson did a genetic analysis back in the day, and he used BLAST program, and he came up with 70%. But there was an error in the BLAST program that if you did batch amounts over like 75,000 at a time, like that, of the sequencing, it would come up with an error. And so this was pointed out to him, and Dr. Tompkins revoked that paper. It's still cited every so often, but he even admitted, yes, it's bad. So he redid the analysis. And when he redid the analysis, he used an ungapped parameter on BLAST, meaning that he treated indels as instead of having one mutation, because an indel is a whole bunch of nucleotides that have changed, instead of normally we treat that as one, he counted each individually one in order to get a number between 80 and 85, 86. And so it was a dishonest attempt to try to match his older number by using a method that nobody uses, you know, because you don't do analysis like that. And this is where they got that from. So they're basically parroting a dishonest creationist that has gone out of his way to purposely manipulate the numbers in order to get the numbers that he was looking for. That's where they got it from.
So I had prepared for this evening a handful of genetics references that just on tap to show that all of this data was wrong. Where the hell are you getting this? Here's scientific source A, B, C that are all showing completely different figures. And here's an explanation from a geneticist friend of mine that I'd invited to be on the show tonight, but he, unfortunately, because he has a PhD and he is working in the field, he was still getting home from the airport and wasn't going to be able to make the show. But I know a couple of geneticists who, when I have a question that is beyond my capacity, I hit them. And then they give me a bunch of technical jargon that they try to simplify down to my level convey it back.
Was one of them Frank?
No, I'm Frank? Speaking right now about concordance.
Okay. Oh, concordance. Oh, yeah. Concordance is a genius. Oh, concordance. He's one of the smartest guys I've ever seen.
Well, there's three videos that we can take a look at. We'll start out with one that claims that Aaron, Steve, and myself are scared of structured debates. It's about a 4-minute long video. Dave,
I love structured debates. Get me in more of them. But I want to caution. I don't want to waste my time where I'm not getting paid to do things like this. I do this show because it's fun. But I want to make some money because I need money. You know?
Sure.
So, I mean, I live debates, you get paid for your performance. And I kind of need that because, you know, to eat and stuff.
We got to have Stanley to do a live debate with you then. That would be fine.
Eating is good. Dave, let's see what he has to, what shit he has to say about why we're scared.
Give me one second. Let me get this.
One.
Oh, by the way, while you're waiting on that, I want to
go ahead.
I want to tell everybody I have a Patreon, patreon.com/ARONRA, and I really do need all the support I can get. So please.
Absolutely.
I make 6 videos a month. If you can donate $3 per video, that's 18 bucks out of your month. And it'd make a huge
It will be linked in the description, too, right, for you guys to check out.
Here we go. Well. This is going to look extremely familiar.
Oh, hey.
Nephi says he wants to have a debate with me, but what he really wants to do is just get in a video hangout where he can, I don't know, yell over me or something.
Yell over you? What? That is basically what you did to me on every single comment or question. Look.
He even argues that are not.
Are we playing this all the way through?
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Just okay. Until somebody stops it.
Okay.
Knowledge of molecular processes is not good enough to ever determine or rule out independent origins. So it's telling us things about density of hair that they have to protecting them from all elements. They don't get sunburned.
Hold on. Hold on.
Let me know what you think. Now lost their bees, and now
except
they now
that
have to
not.
Pollinate by hand.
Except that they are not.
Well, this thing can't do that thing, then that's unfalsifiable, not science.
No, Matt.
Well,
Matt.
Hold on.
Something is a mammal, but if you want to buy, play by the taxonomic
exactly
rules,
the
that
okay, Dave, very, very go to, we get his point. See if he goes toward the end of his, if he says
who
anything,
edits
actually.
These things? Who edits these? Like a five-year-old?
So will you admit?
Matt, listen very carefully.
He's literally, okay. Okay. I see what he's doing. And I'm gonna send this to. I'm gonna send this
and
to
those
David.
Dave,
you can go ahead and go to the next to where he starts to debunk evolution. Let me explain what this is. What he did here was pull out. It's sort of like with the Kent Hovind thing. The reason that the Kent Hovind discussion that he had with Arne was so effective is because Arne was a master at not letting Kent Hovind do what he normally did. And that is, he will try to weasel his way out of questions and move on to something different. And what Arne was doing is not allowing him to do that. And those interruptions are times where he's not interrupting to just for the sake of interrupting. It's interrupting to either clarify what he meant to say or to make him actually answer the damn question. And there's a huge difference between those two things, a huge difference. What?
The other thing about it was that he wanted to go on a rail of all kinds of lies. So he wants to tell, 35 lies in his 2 minutes of talking. But if you say right. something that is not true, I am going to interrupt you because the thing you just said is not true. I don't get to listen to the next lie or the next 5 or 10 lies. We're going to address the lie you just told and show that that was a lie and get you to admit that that was a lie before we go to your next lie. So,
which he did.
Be ready to, if every sentence you're going to say is wrong, then expect to be interrupted after every sentence.
Right. And it's not that he's interrupting to throw pejoratives at you. If he actually played the rest of where those interruptions were, they were to make points about what he was saying. The number one move that creationists like to do is to start on one thing and then drive through several other points to try to either confuse the audience or to lose you in several different points to where you're constantly having to play keep up. And the reason that, like I said, the Kent Hovind debate was just so telling of that is because in Kent's other debates, that's what he would do. You could literally take Kent's performances and switch them in debates, even with the different opponents, and it would still be the same. It's a script. And when forced to stick on one question, when forced to make sure that we get through one question, he couldn't even do that. And people don't like that. And so they move to stuff like this. Now, if you notice, he didn't take the opportunity to refute anything that Arne was interrupting him to say. He didn't play that part. He just wants to focus on the interrupted part because, it's rude or whatever. Well,
You didn't let me lie.
Well, it's a persecution exactly. porn thing. They have to play the victim card. They can't do it on the science, so they have to play the victim card. This is why I don't think any of these people actually even think that they're believing in their own bullshit. They have to know they're lying because they literally go out of the way to play this persecution narrative. Any one of us can have a civil conversation about a multitude of topics. We do it daily, done it for years. And they come in and they just gish gallop the fuck out of people, running from one topic to another, never sticking on one topic. And this is why Arne would interrupt, because Matt would say something incredibly stupid and incredibly wrong. And of course, we want to get the right information out and fix that one particular issue. But then he would migrate to 50 more different things. That's how they do it.
Well, yep. See, that's why that's why neither one of them showed up for the show tonight, because what we were going to do was systematically disprove every one of their claims, not the whole 100, because I wanted to do this as a recurrent show. I wanted to cover 5 things, and then maybe we would get, 20 shows out of that if we could get the guys to hang on. But I didn't expect them to hold out through the remainder of this show. I honestly didn't. I thought that if one or both of them showed up, that they would never concede the first fucking point And it would stop there because they know they're wrong. They've got no defense for it. There's no way they can admit that they're wrong because they're both liars and because their entire belief system depends on lies. So where the fuck are they going to go? Away.
Well,
they would both drop out, rage quit the show. That's what I was expecting.
Standing for Truth sent me an email a few minutes ago that says, I am at work until 9. Secondly, please send me a copy of Raw Matt's email that he sent to you. Now, it's now 9:49. So if you got off work at 9 o'clock, you literally have no excuse not to be here. Well, you do have one excuse.
Is he in the same time zone?
He's an Eastern, I think.
Yeah. So it's the same time zone. So you literally have no excuse except for the fact that you know that you can't back up anything that you say. Now, we're going to watch this video right here. Dave, if you'll put this up. He made 3 total videos about what we did, and we're going to go through this in pieces because it's long and drawn out, and we'll hit sort of the main points. But Dave, just kind of go to 5 minutes, 5 minutes in, and we'll see what he has to say about what we said last week. That's good.
Genetic trees, saying to others, see how all fields of science help prove evolution? It's called consilience. But yet they get very upset when a creationist does the same thing.
Pause, Dave.
No.
Go ahead, Arn.
I that was the recording of me raising my hand. That wasn't me.
Oh. I didn't catch that either, Kyle. I was waiting for Arn to interject already. I was like, okay.
I paused it.
The Arn with the shades. The Arn with the shades is got the it. Clone.
Got it.
Okay. Gotcha.
The doppelganger. Right. Shades
Arn.
I was like, oh, okay. Wait. All right.
No.
Go ahead, Dave.
No. I'm not upset that evolutionists use paleontology and geology. I'm upset that during arguments and debates, I'm not allowed to use them. Everyone always says evolution only has to do with biology. They didn't even understand what I was trying to say. They didn't listen. They didn't even start at the beginning. That was the problem.
When they started looking recently, they found that turtles have no shells when they spend their life in the ocean. The longer they spend their time in the ocean, the less they need a shell.
Since I don't think R and Raw either believed me or didn't understand what I was saying, I guess I'll post it here. This is the National Geographic website, who also stated that once turtles hit the water, their shell size reduces. The leatherback
that's,
turtles.
Wait, pause.
He didn't say that.
There's a difference between reduction in size and losing a feature. Oh.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah, there's no living turtle that has no shell. So
some soft shell aquatics.
He said the turtles have hooves.
They're ungulates. This tells you his depth and breadth of understanding of this topic.
His turtles have no shells, and they have hooves and long flowing manes.
And they chew the cud. You must chew the cud.
But do you see how dishonest it was? He so nonchalantly said, when I said that the turtles had no shells, Arn didn't believe me. When this study here says that clearly turtle shells may have shrunk. Completely opposite. They're not even in the same
realm. There's a difference between a girl in a short skirt and one with no skirt.
Yes. That's a good example.
Good point.
That's a good example. That's a very good point. Okay, Dave.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Wow. Poor shells.
That's what I'm saying. This is dumb. This is honest.
It's not.
There are two different cladistics definitions for turtle. They're still debating.
No, there are not. There is not two different.
There are two different cladistic classifications for turtles, Arn. I don't know why I'm teaching you this. This is your specialty, for God's sake.
Which major taxonomic group or clade of reptiles that turtles belong to? Now, most of reptiles fall under the clade known as Eureptilia, or true reptiles. This includes stuff like lizards, snakes, dinosaurs, and birds. But there's also Parareptilia, or side reptiles. These are some of the earliest reptiles, all of which are now extinct, like the spiky-cheeked procolophonids and the mesosaurs, which were probably the first aquatic reptiles. Now, by and large, which clade you put turtles in depends on where you think its shell came from. Turtles' exact place among the eureptiles isn't settled either. A lot of researchers think they're more closely related to the clade that includes animals like crocodiles and birds, but others argue that they're closer to a different group that includes lizards and snakes. Hopefully it won't take another 130 years for an answer to that debate.
So,
what's his argument? The
position of turtles cladistically is not that there are two different classifications for turtles. It's that they're trying to decide which one they belong to. And if this this PBS episode is probably a few years old, because the discoveries that closed this or that solved this problem were very recent. I was wrong about this, because I made a video several years ago when it was still undecided, and I was very hopeful that turtles would end up being in the parareptilian group, because I wanted parareptiles to have a living successor. But it turns out that they don't. There was another fossil that was found that shows, I can't remember the name of the fossil, but it showed the first stage of turtle growth, which was super broad ribs. So you have an animal that looks already like a turtle. And it's a secondary diapsid, meaning that these early fossils, they did actually find that it has two temporal fenestra. They're just very, very small. And so it was overlooked the first time. Sometimes you need, especially when you're dealing with fragmentary skeletons, you need a fossil that is complete in order to tell whether you've got all the pieces. And that was the determining factor. All modern turtles have no temporal fenestra, where the anapsids, meaning like the pariosaurs, scutosaurus, things like that from the Permian, they didn't have a temporal fenestra either. And that's not really a diagnostic trait, but they created this other thing that they called anapsids. And then turtles, it turns out, because they are secondarily diapsid. I mean, they had the original fenestra. They have closed up since then. And now genetically, and according to the new fossils that they discovered, and there was a handful of new fossils that were discovered that closed this up, we now know that they are in Eureptilia, not the Pariosauria. So one clade of turtles, and
This is why I couldn't understand his argument. If you have reptilia and you have the two clades in that, you have the Eureptilia and you have the Parareptilia. And I thought turtles was in the para myself, by the way.
A lot of people did. I know professional paleontologists still who think that turtles are parareptiles. And I was disappointed
I'll take your thing on that. Because like I said, I did think they were on Parareptilia. But if they're on the other one, they're on the Eureptilia. What he's arguing is, he sounds like he's saying that they're in both clades for some reason. That's what his argument was, that turtles were in both clades.
That's exactly it.
And
I don't know why I'm telling you to teach you this.
His argument is fundamentally wrong.
There's this fallacy. There's this logical rule. It's called the law of excluded middle, standing for truth. It can't be in two clades at once, because
it's one clade.
That would literally be against the definition of what a clade is.
Just said that, like, he's just thinking that because they when he watched this, because they haven't decided yet which clade it belongs in, that means that there must be, it must belong to more than one. That's his mess. That's up.
How is that stupid. Even possible?
That's stupid.
It's his
definitionally impossible.
Fuck up. So there's two down standing for truth.
Does just not show you just how inept these people really are, that they really think they understand these topics. And what's worse is they're not only inept on it, they try to disparage other people's knowledge on it. Like, it's like other people don't know what they're talking about. Let us educate you. These fucktards couldn't educate a donut, okay? They have no knowledge about these topics. They've never gone to school. They never read a book. They don't even have the fundamentals. They have no foundational principles or first principles of any of these topics.
Anybody that listens to either of these two, take a look at where they are. They pull some kind of stuff about who's going to show up where. This is the second time that they haven't been able to come in here and face up to the stuff that they spout. Like in this video, he's all mouth in this video. When it comes time to actually facing somebody that can refute your points, and you know they're going to be able to refute your points, and you don't want to look like you're a bitch, which, I mean, at this point, you are a hashtag bitch made in the chat. You do anything you can to get out of it. And we're going to go through a couple more. And there's two down, and we just started the video. So, I mean, I don't know what you expected, standing for truth or standing for lies. Dave? Go on. Let's start.
Bacteria can never produce a non-bacteria. It never.
Hypothesis is all that they have. You see, this is the real problem. According to the evolution theory, about 100,000 to 200,000 years ago, there were about 10,000 to 30,000 individuals. That's an estimate. Now, let's just say half were women. That leaves us with 5,000 or 15,000, whatever you want to go with. Let's just say that the average is 10,000 for this debate. So now we have 10,000 different lines of possible mitochondrial DNA to be passed down. Yet we only have one today. What are the odds of this? That's highly improbable. But if you start with the biblical account, this lines up perfectly as to what we would expect and what we do see. There should be just one line, and there is just one line. Exactly what the empirical evidence shows. Vast correlations line up directly with what the Bible says, and this is undeniable evidence.
Oh, God.
Oh, I deny that evidence.
That's about all you can say to that, really. I mean,
yeah.
Now, I mean, granted, the mitochondrial DNA comes through the female line, the maternal line, but we are related to one ancestor from the mitochondrial Eve, which was about 200,000 years ago, if I remember correctly. But that's because that's the only one that survived. That's the only line that survived. I mean,
when you look at population mechanics,
that's so complicated.
When you look at population mechanics, it's the way that, you know, when you look at a population of individuals, you're going to have, in the time of mitochondrial Eve, you've had whole groups of people, and all of their lineages continued for a bit, and then many of them died out or thinned out or whatever. And so you end up with one line that dominates the group. And so everybody ends up relating to that one person. And that's exactly the mitochondrial Eve.
Why is that so complicated for them to grasp? I don't know. It's pretty simple.
They wrote a book.
And
are you sure?
No, I'm not at this point. Dave, look, let this be known. This is what happens when you follow Kent Hovind. This is exactly, people should expect this. This is exactly what should follow. Let's hear what he has to say about this darling right here.
You know, it's interesting. When the Human Genome Project mapped the human genome, they said there's only one race of people. You know what that confirms? The Bible. Because we all go back to Adam and Eve, we're all one race.
So I don't think it confirms the Bible. It just makes the Bible consistent with nature on this one point.
I'm just, you know, I was in the room with him, right?
You get the justice.
With who?
Were you with Bill Nye?
I was in the room. I was right next to Bill. I was right next to Ken Ham.
How'd you keep from laughing?
Shit. Yeah,
I was. If you go watch the video, there's a moment when Ken Ham recognizes me because he had made a big deal about me like the day before. I saw an article in the Australian news where Ken Ham was telling his followers to pray for my happy ass, and there was something else that he had said specifically about me. So I know that he knows who I am because he'd made a big deal about me the day before, and so I'm walking next to him, recording him, while he's got all these other cameras for the movie, right? And then he turns and looks at me and realizes I'm right next to him, and he does this all.
That's got to be the greatest feeling, knowing the panic that you cause when you go up to a place like that. If I ever get any notoriety, that's the only thing that I ever want. I want to go to, like, the Kentucky Museum and the Ark Encounter, and I want fear to be in their eyes. That would be the greatest
of my life. I'm going again next month. No, this month. Later this month, I'm going.
You can hear the alarms going off.
Okay. I'm going up to the American Atheist National Convention, which is in Cincinnati, and that's a 20-minute drive to the Ark Park. And Answers in Genesis is doing something where they pretend to answer evolutionists. And, of course, I'm going to record those confrontations because, you know, that's going to be a fun set of conversations. And I can't get a lot of these guys to face me anymore. I mean, the tour guide, Answers in Genesis gave me a tour guide, and he did his best, but he came into the same old argument of, you know, well, there's all this evidence for God. And I'm like, oh, start up the cameras, get everybody on this gun, this guy. Okay. What is your evidence for God? And his evidence for God is, well, you can't explain life. No, that's a God of the gas fallacy, and fallacies are not evidence.
I'll tell you what, if you ever get an organization of some type and they make the Ark Encounter some kind of atheist headquarters, I'll donate to that cause.
That's awesome. I don't think the Ark Park will last that long. I really don't. I think that'd
be the ultimate.
They're making a lot of money right now. They really are. And I'm worried I'm worried that what's going to happen. Well, because I'll tell you why. We have a polarizing division in this country. I don't know if I brought it up before. While atheism is on the rise, the fastest growing demographic with regard to religion, atheism, all 50 states and around the world.
That's true.
But the people who recent polls revealed that the people who distrust science is actually rising as well. And of course, you know, creationism is rising. Now, how all of these statistics true at the same time? It's because we no longer have the middle of the road who accepts science and believes they have a soul when they die, you know, that goes somewhere. Instead, right. we have people that are walking away from religion altogether, and we have people that are walking away from science altogether, which is why we have a flat earth movement.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we have so many people who believe in geocentrism and holistic healing and what is it, crystal therapy and all essential oils and all that kind of shit.
Yep.
So exactly therein right. lies the problem.
There was a paper published on that too recently.
So what I'm afraid is going to have to happen is that the United States government is going to end up going the way of, say, the Irish government many years ago. And Ireland reacted when their government was, you know, like full on theocratic. And now they're like entirely, almost entirely atheist. I mean, there was one Catholic that went, when we did the World Atheist Conference in Dublin, on the same weekend that we were there, there was a militant Catholic activist who was also in Dublin. He didn't know that we were there. That would have been funny if we'd gotten to meet up. But he was doing a poll out on the street, just asking passerby, you know, and he got 19 out of 20 people that said that they didn't believe in God at all. And that was in a country where the government is run by the church, where every school, the Catholic school, unless it's a private school, all the public schools are Catholic.
Yeah.
So what's going to end up happening to this country is we're gonna finally lose our secular status, and only then will people wake the fuck up to what's going on. Now, there's already a quarter of the country are atheist, and a third of the younger generation, those under 30, a third of them are atheist, whether they realize what atheism means or not. I mean, they're all calling themselves, you know, agnostic or nuns or whatever. But, you know, the people who don't believe in God, okay, which means atheist, those people are going to be the dominant voting demographic at the same time that this country goes full on theocratic. And that's going to create a new revolution. Hopefully not a violent one, but what I think is going to end up happening is the same thing that happened in a lot of other countries that started out theocratic and then just lost control of it, where nobody takes the church seriously anymore, but they do realize what the church is doing to them. And only then will the non-believers actually start to vote as a block. It's only going to be after the damage is done.
I don't know if there's a theocratic revolution on the rise. I mean, I do believe religiosity is definitely on the decrease, and that's universal across the board.
Unfortunately, they're still in charge of everything, and that's the paradox.
That is true.
The dying generation still owns and controls everything, but it's going to be the only people left who still have religion are going to be the ones in power.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, don't you think though that the old guard is kind of dying out though in some regards? I mean, they are trying to change the minds of the older people.
Not fast enough.
Okay, so now there are people on the Supreme Court now who want to overturn the Lemon Test, Lemon versus Kurtzman. Mm-hmm. They want to be full on theocratic. They're going to dissolve. They are determined to dissolve our separation of church and state, and that'll happen at the same time that the non-believers end up the dominant voting block.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I hope it's not a violent thing.
I expect the same thing that we saw in the UK and the same thing that we saw in Ireland, where the populace doesn't take the clergy seriously anymore and has no respect for them either.
That's kind of what happened here, though. I mean, the Pope, I'm sorry, is not having, he doesn't have any or much of the same pull that he used to have. People even mock him openly nowadays. And so even in the States here, I think that a lot of people are having a lot more insensitivities to religion and disrespects to religion. And it's because they're not taking them seriously. After all the scandals and everything else happened, there's nothing to take seriously with a lot of them. And now there are some people that are in the middle, let me finish real quick. There are some people that do take science and religion, and they can mix them together, right? The Zygarts of the world and people like that. And they're far and few between, but those are not the enemy, right? In my opinion, those are allies because they're fighting against creationism just as much as anybody else. And they keep their religion to themselves. They don't want the theocracy. They don't want a theological situation in the United States where their personal religion isn't the one that's dominant, because that's usually what's going to happen, right? If there's a theological takeover, the chances of your particular denomination, your religious views being the dominant one is pretty much slim to none if you look at the bigger picture, right? So I don't think that's going to be the case, but I think that as more people recognize that the older guard is leaving, dying out, the Pat Robertsons of the world, and, you know, I hate to say it, but if when that man passes away, there probably be multiple house parties going on, because he's just such a vile person, and it's got a lot of damage to people. But
I think you're right. I think the younger group is going to make a difference. I am definitely going to celebrate when Pat Evil fucking Robertson dies.
Amen.
Because I remember him in 1993. I remember in 1993 when he told his 30,000 some odd followers to go out and kill homosexuals where you find them. Because he said that the United States was the only country that allowed homosexuals to live.
Oh.
And that was why we have earthquakes.
How can one person honestly get something so many things so wrong? And now he's gotten to the point where like people don't even comment on the batshit crazy things that he says anymore.
It's normal.
But like, how effective are you as a pastor, you know, supposedly trying to lead people to or when you say things, they're like, well, let's just Pat again, you know, he's insane. We watched that video, Steve, of him with the hurricane was coming. Remember when the hurricane was heading straight to his campus, and he was saying,
he prayed it.
He was saying, I pray a shield of protection around this. Please don't make it to where we have to spend the church's money to rebuild our beautiful campus. Not saying anything about anybody else around in the area. Just don't let it
screw
hit
them.
His campus.
Right. Screw them, right?
The way to hit Pat Robertson's empire. Everybody else, tough luck.
I remember when Pat Robertson was supposed to be sending aid to some African country that was having some terrible problem. He was supposed to be sending charitable aid when actually he was sending mining equipment and was taking advantage of the slaves that already existed to put him to work for his mines.
Oh my God. Shocking.
That's just, that's not surprising at all, actually. It's not surprising at all.
I remember watching before, it was like 1982, and you had what was the girl with all the makeup? Jim and Tammy Faye.
Tammy Faye Baker.
Yeah. So they had the writers for Dungeons and Dragons. Remember the Dungeons and Dragons game? They had the writers for that game on one of their shows, and they said, "Is Dungeons and Dragons willfully a satanic organization?" And the guy says, "No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, we even have a Catholic priest who reads over everything that we produce to make sure that there's nothing that could be interpreted that way at all." And so she turned to the camera and said, "See, Dungeons and Dragons is willfully a satanic organization." What the fuck are you lying about, bitch?
I was told that as a kid, that because I liked Dungeons and Dragons. I started with the basic set, right? I remember back in the days, it was really just a piece of paper, some pencil, and dice kind of thing. But I was told by some parents, that I couldn't play that in their house with their, my friends, because it was satanic and I was going to grow up to worship Satan. Now, granted, later on, I did grow up to worship Satan, but that was completely coincidental and had nothing to do with the fact that I played Dungeons and Dragons.
It's so sad because she actually came out to be a really good ally for the LGBTQ community after that whole thing.
Tammy Faye.
Wasn't
her husband gay?
Who? Jim Baker?
Yeah,
Jim Baker. No, Jim Baker wasn't gay.
What's his face? Jimmy Swaggart.
He was the one with the hookers.
Yeah, he was one of the hookers back in my area in India. Yeah, he got
from my house.
There were.
Yeah, you're thinking of. God damn, what is his name?
No, I could have sworn that Jim Baker, when he went to prison, that he got in trouble with Tammy Faye because he was having sexual relationships in prison.
Maybe. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know
that,
about
that. That could be true, but right now he's outside slinging buckets of food for the apocalypse.
He's got a new one now. But yeah, Tammy Faye Baker came out real strong after he got sent away and they divorced. She came out real strong for the LGBTQ community. She did several shows with RuPaul.
Will you see what sitting in a hot tub with Ron Jeremy will do to you?
Yeah. But I mean, it just goes to show you, like, it's an interesting thing. She did an interview with, I think it was Sally Jesse Raphael, I believe. And her and RuPaul were on the show because they were really good friends, apparently. And she's talking about, going shopping with RuPaul. And then she says, you know, she still says that she still has her faith or whatever. But somehow she was able to square those and not be an issue. You know what I mean? But those
I don't know how RuPaul and Tammy Faye could possibly be friends, because if they try to share makeup, there wouldn't be any left for RuPaul.
That's what made it so great.
Spackle on it. Yeah.
That's what made it so great. Ted Haggard. Ted Haggard.
Yeah, he was another hypocrite of a different kind. I'm pretty sure that I remember the story about Jim Baker being gay in prison, but I mean Ted Haggard was a whole other thing.
Well, I think they're all
we're talking
gay.
About this. While we're talking about this hypocrisy, my favorite out of all of them was not Ted Haggard, even though I'm a monumental hypocrite he is, you know, snorting coke off a hooker's ass, male hooker nonetheless. But my favorite one was like that he was the president of the American Family Association, just adamantly, hatefully anti-gay. And then it turns out that he hired a rent-a-boy, and the rent-a-boy's advertising criteria was that he had an 8-inch uncut penis.
That was his advertisement.
Dave, I'm sending you a video, Dave. I want to play this because since you're here, Arn, I think this would be great to get your take on, because this to me is it's the most comical and yet terrifying video that I've ever seen in terms of like what religion can drive people to do. And this features the preacher's name's Brown. John Henry Brown, I think it is, and Kenneth Copeland in this video. And Kenneth Copeland, I think, is just with the Jets thing. But Dave, will you play a little snippet of this video? And I want to get their take on this. Buckle up if you haven't seen this video. It's called Unholy Laughter, and it will really, really, really make you question things. And Dave, we're just going to go towards the middle of it. It doesn't matter where you stop; it's all the same.
Marumo, mamma nema, mamma ninge, mangalise, mangalisto, maninuso, mene nefe, mene 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 mene
mene
mene mene mene
mene mene mene mene. Go ahead.
Times, 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 times of refreshing, times of refreshing, times of refreshing, times of refreshing, times, times, taya, 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 times, taya, 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 times, taya, 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 ho. Ha, me, han, ho, menani, oh, sa, ah, oh, yeah, ta-da, ta, times, and ta-ya, yes, of refreshing.
All right, Dave, let's go towards the end. There's a really good scene here towards the end.
You know he's sitting there thinking, God damn, these people are stupid. You know
look
he's
at everybody's going yeah. crazy.
Is in this place. Oh, oh,
now, I want you to see how these people react.
Heaven is here, heaven is here, oh, ha, 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 oh, come on in and drink, heaven is in this place, oh, come on
right, Dave,
in, come
towards,
and
right
drink,
towards the very end.
Heaven is in
I want to see the guy that just dips and collapses.
Oh.
Maybe we missed it. Anyway, there's a guy that
wouldn't it be a great job? All you got to do is lie to people and sing like this, and swindle little old ladies, and you get, you know, tens of millions of dollars a year.
The thing is, though, he says
if only
nothing.
I could get rid of these. If only I could get rid of these damn scruples.
Yeah. He says nothing. Like, he literally does that the entire hour of that video. He doesn't say one word, not one message, not one like complete sentence. It's he starts the video laughing at people. Kenneth Copeland is in the very beginning of it, and Kenneth Copeland walks up to the pulpit, and they're both just going ha da 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 hilly hilly, like back and forth. I mean, it's just 5 minutes of them gibbering back and forth, and you can tell find Kenneth Copeland at the very beginning, because I want you to see, like, there's a moment where they're looking at each other and they're laughing at how easy this is, like unbelievable this is. But he literally says no words the entire video, no words. It's ridiculous. But we're the ones, you know, we're the ones without a moral compass.
But that's the funniest thing. That's what makes it hilarious. They're so open about it. They're literally saying to people, look, we're laughing at you because you're a bunch of fucking idiots. I'm saying gibberish and people are laughing their ass off at it or praising Jesus or whatever. And I'm not even saying anything.
Mm-hmm. You had to correct the pronunciation of gibberish. Is that even necessary?
Exactly. But what I don't get is that you have people that and like Steve said, not all, but there are the Christians that we're talking about in this sense are the ones that look down at people who don't have belief as if there's something wrong with them, as if we are in some way broken, or we're missing something, or we're not as pure and innocent as a Christian. Now, those same people will look to somebody like John Henry Brown, Kenneth Copeland, or the people that's in that room, and think that they are pious, that they have, they're doing God's work. We're not supposed to question that, even if it looks ridiculous, because we don't know. That could very well be the Holy Spirit. Well, we do fucking know exactly what that is. Everybody can look at that video and tell that is somebody getting up there and blatantly taking people for a ride out of their money. People that are willing to send that money over. Now, let me ask you the question: who has the morality problem? Those of us who are just going, you know, I don't really buy that. I don't buy that story. There's more to that. It happened differently. We're seeking a different answer than you, but yet you classify us as somewhat less than. Or you're going to side with that, what we just saw in that video, a guy walking around screaming nonsense at people as they throw money at him.
And what is the problem with pointing that out? I don't get this. What obligation do I have to look at something like this video? Which, by the way, I've seen that video a few times. But what obligation do I have to look at the video and go, yeah, this is holy, this is pious, this is of the Lord? I get none of that. I have the opposite effect. I have revulsion. I have literally this feeling of here are these people that are being taken advantage of by these scammers, these con artists, and the people in the audience. I don't fault them, right? I don't. I think that they're victims in this case, right? I think they have some onus that they should go figure it out that this shit is being perpetrated on them. But you know they're victims of their own faith. But the people that are doing this, like Copeland and all these other fake preachers, they know it's a scam. They know it's bullshit. And why should I, as a non-believer? Oh no, the tax exempt chips too. That was the whole scandal with him. Is that he was trying to get him tax exempt, and the government said, "Screw you." You know, it's always about the money. And so I'm a bad person for looking at that and going, "Oh my God, these people are just these are actual scammers that you're watching." And you have religious people going, "Oh no, that's the spirit." Oh no, it's not. That if that's the spirit, then I don't know what to tell you. What religion you have? That is not the spirit.
It's like Orrin said, it's such bullshit because the people that are writing laws for this country are the people that would sit meet for a prayer breakfast with somebody like Kenneth Copeland or John Henry Brown. They would accept donations from their ministries. And those are the people that are writing legislation for this country. Why? Because when atheists run, they get demonized because, oh, they're satanic and they don't have any, they have no morals about them. Well, there's nothing to do with morals about that video that we just saw. Yet that guy's probably connected to somebody that's in Congress writing laws because of money. Money.
Yeah, was it a Gulfstream 5 or 6 that he was trying to get connected with them?
Here's Kenneth Copeland.
Remember the escape. Oh, hallelujah. Out of your belly shall flow forth rivers.
Oh, no, this isn't Kenneth Copeland. But this is still good.
Wow. Like a hyena.
It's organized.
Same Amakusa. I mean, come on, seriously.
So I guess, Aaron, we can pretty much close the lid on standing for what did you call what John the other
standing
day?
For fuckery.
Standing for bullshit.
Standing for fuckery.
Yeah. Standing for bullshit and raw dipshittery, raw derp. You two have no answers. You two have no arguments. You two can't even come in and pretend like you did. Look, G-Man at least came in and defended his stupidity against Aaron. You can't even do that. And when you're not even on G-Man's level, we don't have the time for you anymore.
Yep. Now, if they want to do a structured debate, I'm down for it if they want to do it in a live venue, but of course nobody's going to pay to see either of them losers debate anybody.
No. And I mean, 1,000 people watching them, just basically, this is the second time that they've done this. Standing Truth has pussied out. So there's just, they're done. I mean, they can make all the videos they want. Few people are going to watch it. Nobody's really going to believe it. They have no, he's not standing for anything at this point. So, I mean, our audience knows fuckery when they see it. None of them are going to buy into their bullshit. Even at this point, I would question even what they tell you if it's true. If they went and they found something in evolution that was correct, still question it. Go validate it yourself, because I wouldn't trust a goddamn thing that either one of these people say. I wouldn't.
Yep. This is the last thing I'm going to say about this. You had guys both times. You've had almost 1,000 people. The first time. Yeah, actually, each time, over 1,000 during the course of the stream, sitting here waiting on you two to come in and see if you had even a shred of a backbone to back up anything that you say. You've made all of these videos to Aaron, to myself, and to Steve, saying that we're scared of this, we're scared of this structured debate. We've shown up every single time right here, and have sent you the links, and both times you bailed out and blamed the other one for the reason why you didn't show up. So, I don't. Aaron, do you have anything else you want to throw out there?
Nope.
It doesn't have to be about that. Cool. Let me read these.
If anybody checked, because I know that sometimes you said that there have been chat messages about what I was drinking tonight. This time it was Wake Up Dead Nitro.
Nice.
Wake Up Dead Nitro. I've heard of that. Who makes that? Who puts that out?
I don't know. Normally, I only drink Texas beers, but sometimes I'll go out of state.
You ever had a Bales Two Hearted?
I don't think so.
Oh man, you have to try that. You have to try that. Okay, let me get to these super chats real quick. I know that there are a couple that are sent towards Aaron, so I'll get those out of the way first. If it will load. Oh no, I got the monkey. Something went wrong.
Oh, you got the 500.
Okay, here we go.
I had that on Twitter today. I guess there's a problem with the internet. I don't know.
All right.
I had the same problem.
Lloydy, 666 yen for Aaron Ra. Mark Beiser, standing for derp is hashtag bitch made. Nerd Junkies sent two super chats without any comments. Thank you for that. Brian G, time for a hashtag bitch made t-shirt. I agree. Sandring, is this my big chance to discuss with Aaron why he's wrong about political issues? LOL, love you, Aaron. Oh, yeah, we do need to set that up between the two of you. We have been talking about that. Thank you for the super chat. Brian G, standing for truth, even lies like Hovind. That's accurate. Green Monkey, evening all. Revive Newt, no message. Travis Miller, no message. Thank you for the super chats. 0.08, officially an Aaron Raw Patreon. I was homeschooled and taught young earth creationism. I was homeschooled and was taught young earth creationism, but always had a passion for science. Aaron has helped me reignite my passion for learning. Well, you can't beat that.
No, you can't. That's excellent. Thank you.
Green Monkey. So we had Adam and Eve, and then Cain and Abel. Cain kills Abel. Who does Cain marry? Good question. Attila the One, all hail the Pope of agnosticism. Oh God, don't, Attila, don't encourage him. Yeah, Epicuro Altera says, exappropriate the Ark Park to make it an LGBTQ mega brothel. That would be hilarious. Corrupt syntax. I would spend a year in a hot tub with RuPaul and Tammy Faye. That's funny. Attila the One, what are Aaron, Kyle, and Steve's favorite extinct critters? I must know. Thanks for providing the show, guys. I can't imagine not having non sequitur around. Mine would be a saber-toothed tiger.
I'm going to go with Hallucinogenia, which is a Cambrian-type animal that was really kind of cool.
Yeah, and at Aaron? The moment, for me, it's Thrinaxodon.
What does that look like?
That is more in our lineage. It was the one that survived the Cambrian, or excuse me, it was the one that survived the Permian Triassic extinction event. It was a saber-toothed therapsid.
Oh, nice. Saber-toothed are just badass. Let me ask you this question, Arn, since we're talking about this. Have you ever heard of the stoned ape theory?
No.
It's the theory that that our way, 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 way back ancestors, before we developed sort of the consciousness that we have today, achieved such by, or was aided in achieving such by eating psychedelics that unlocked parts of the brain.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
Got it. Okay, Pragmatic Culture. Does Aaron need a substitute sparring partner? LOL, I offer myself as tribute. I wish I'd seen that earlier, Pragmatic, but maybe next time. CI Lobotomy LLC. His audience is mistaken, just like his apostles. I think there's a couple more, and then we'll be doing, let me refresh. Okay, Gareth McLean, non-sec makes night shift go by so much faster. Thank you. You're very welcome. Knockdown Will, Jabberwocky Ding Ding, Slip, Slip, Slap, Slee, Dipstick, Paddywhack, PDP, Googly Gee, Polly Wally, Sling Slang, Screwy, Dibbly Doo, Wing Wong, Ping Pong, King Kong, Cheech and Chong, Hop Skip, Kazooga Goo, Hee Hee, Sandler Tongues. Oh.
I understood all of that.
Adam Sandler tongues. There has to be somebody to translate, Aaron. So, I mean.
That was Kyle speaking in tongues.
Isn't that the thing? Yes, that's somebody to translate. Translator Carminium says, the thing about speaking in tongues is that the gibberish always happens to adhere to the phylogeny sound system of the person's native language. Phonology. Yeah, sorry. I have the phonology challenge on my brain. Thank you. Terry James, Aaron, is Ham just delusional rather than a con man like Hovind?
Ham is a wanna-believer. He knows that a lot of the things he says are not true, but he can't admit it because he.
But do you think he has a core beliefs?
Yeah, he's a pretender. So I think, he's going to believe what he wants to believe because he wants to believe it. So he's one of those that believes that if you make believe hard enough, then you can convince yourself of your own, you can reject reality and supplement your own.
Yeah, I get that vibe from him too. I think he believes the core stuff, but I think he knows a lot of it he can't support and is outright wrong and he doesn't care. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's been a consistency for most of the believers that I've met, that they don't care what the truth is. And very often they don't want to know what the truth is.
I mean, that's definitely accurate.
Which is why we were missing both of our guests this evening.
Yep.
Fair point.
And because they are hashtag bitch made. Interesting question. Next, Aaron, from Brian Stevens. Oh, SJ, I'm getting ready to read that same question, but thank you for the super chat. Brian Stevens asks, would Aaron Ra debate SJ on the resurrection?
No. Because it all comes down to interpretation. There's no fact that anybody can point to. Literally, the best evidence that they have is that they can't find the fucking tomb. They have empty tombs that might be the tomb, but if they, you have to assume all kinds of assumptions that are based on nothing but assumptions, and there's nowhere we can go with that. So there's no point in even discussing it.
SJ really likes the minimal fact arguments. Do you accept any of the minimal fact arguments? Because I think that all of them are up for in some interpretation. The minimal fact argument is basically like one of them happens to be like the tomb, the conversion of Paul. There's certain things that they consider to be at the very basics facts of history, and even all of them are. There's like four or five of them that they're questionable. DM Spencer did a really good presentation on the questionable aspect of even on the minimum facts argument, but SJ thinks that these are the bare minimum to kind of prove Christianity.
The problem is not just that there's no truth to Christianity, and it's not just that there's no possibility of God, which both are true. There's no truth to Christianity and there is no possibility of God. The other problem that I have is that Christianity is fundamentally flawed at its core. Even if there was a historical Jesus, that character is painted as an ignorant first century faith healer, just as dishonest and unscrupulous as they are today, with the same kind of end of the world, you know, the end is nigh kind of fuckery to him, right? That's the character who wants you to leave your family and abandon your children and your spouse and everything and pick up your cross and come after him and join his fucking cult, right? But there's no redeeming aspect to Christianity. There's no logic to it. What the hell did Jesus die for? No fucking reason. Was there an Adam and Eve? Absolutely not. There's not a bit of it that makes sense. Well, you're gonna go to hell if you don't believe, and you go to heaven if you believe, and that's all that matters is that you believe. So you buy the bullshit, and that's it. That's the end of the selling point. And the same thing with Islam, right? Believing in God equals good, and not believing in God equals bad, and you're going to go to hell. That's it. So they're selling a bullshit story, and that's all they've got. And there is nothing. There's nothing any better than that. There's not an ounce of it that makes any sense. So for me to debate with somebody, whether a guy who a composite character who likely never even existed, but if he did exist, isn't the guy that they're pretending it is, and there isn't a God, period. So that doesn't matter. And this guy from the first century doesn't know that there wasn't a flood either. He believes it. Why? Because he's stupid. He doesn't know that there are seeds smaller than the seed, the mustard seed. He doesn't know when figs are in season. He doesn't get any respect in his own hometown because everybody that knows him knows what a fraud he is. He can't even heal the blind when he pretends to because he's doing this stupid fucking faith healing thing. Right? There's no... Why would I debate whether some guy existed or was resurrected in an impossible circumstance for no fucking reason on a belief system that can't be defended on any point ever? Sorry.
I think they're fascinating discussions, but every time I've listened to the debates, and I happen to like SJ, people know that. She actually, I would consider her a friend, but she'll run the same arguments I hear from everybody else. And they're just not very convincing arguments. And they're just definitely not something worthy of having multiple debates over. It's like everybody wants to debate the same things. We've listened to these arguments before. I've heard the minimal fact argument a million times. I've heard them talk about the tomb a million times. Nothing's changed.
I wanted to add it.
Literature on this stuff, on that.
I will only debate things that I can actually prove a point about. If we can't show that somebody's right,
This is the problem I have with a lot of religious interpretation. If it's at all based on interpretation of how you read the Bible and how you interpret the Bible, then I give up. There's no reason to even participate because these people will change every word to mean something else. I mean, I was in a church for the debate the other day, and it says, you know, it makes this comment, it's taken a line out of the Bible, and they've got it posted on the wall like it's really significant, you know, that he was pierced for our sins, and it's a quote from Isaiah. Like, if it came from Isaiah, they're not talking about fucking Jesus. You know, but if you take all the words and pretend that each word means something else, and it can simultaneously mean the literal thing that it meant, but then it can also mean this other thing that you want to interpret, and then we call this prophetic language because we're bullshitting ourselves.
So which do you prefer? I mean, there's two kinds of debates. One debate could be more of subjective things. Okay, you know, is Trump a good president or is he a shit president? Although I think that's an objective fact. He's crap, but that's at least
something. I think that's objective.
Okay. I don't know. Pick something that, you know, Republican or Democrat. At least people can argue there's different things from different platforms that you can argue that are debatable. But there's certain things, if you want to argue me that 1 + 1 = 5, that's not a debate. There is no debate to be had. Evolution's in that category. There's things in evolution which are debatable, but whether evolution occurs is non-debatable. It is not a matter of if it does or doesn't. It is a fact that it does, that is unequivocal. And so I don't like having debates with people that I can't, you know, if it's just opinion based. I mean, fine, they're fun, and I'll listen to them. But me, if I'm going to be showing something to somebody, I want something that's factual, and I want to be able to take their head and pile drive it in the ground and just smother them with facts. So I don't mind debating things like evolution, but it's not really a debate. It's usually ends up being a discussion or a lecture.
Going back to the discourse, and going back to Jesus being resurrected, even if we accept that there was, even if we want to say that there was a historic Jesus, and I think that there were some real people on which the Jesus legend is based. And so let's take one of those real people and we'll call him the historic Jesus. It still doesn't matter because the argument about whether this person was resurrected, it has no relation to, you know, the God that doesn't exist.
Right.
So it's completely
pointless. You'd just be arguing over if a man existed or not. It wouldn't go to any further proof that, you know, it was God. I think we should change it, Steve, instead of the minimal facts argument. Let's just change it to the no facts argument. So it could be more.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not a big fan of the minimal facts argument. I think that each one of them is questionable, and so you can't really say these are minimal facts. I mean, for a Christian, they might be minimal facts, but they're not for anybody else.
Yeah. God's auditor said, "Are you fecking with me? I just sat down with pizza and beer. I want to see blood." Well, you did see blood, but just like with the Jason King thing, Arnon didn't even have to utter a word against his opponents to utterly destroy them. So.
Yeah, this is getting old, man. Come on. Arnon gets all prettied up. He does his hair. He gets his beer. He gets ready. And people sucking. Don't show.
Arnon, you got to start sucking a little bit. Jesse Bradley says, "And the winner by knockout, Arnon Ra." Yep. Cajun Crustacean.
If Steve was the holder again. It reminds me of when Kenneth Miller was going to have a debate against intelligent design, and his opponent didn't show up. So what resulted was Kenneth Miller giving a 2-hour lecture on how evolution actually works, which was absolutely brilliant. And the people that were in that audience got a much better show than they would have gotten in a debate.
There's some people in the chat that maybe thinking a little bit conspiracy minded, maybe some truth to it, but there's some speculation that maybe this was done on purpose to sort of thwart any kind of show that we would do. And if that is the case, number one, it's a really dumb move because they only made themselves look bad. We continued to have a show and continue to point out where they were wrong, just like we would if they were here. And in fact, the information probably got out to people a lot better without them here to sort of throw up that sort of buffer. So if that was the case, then that's just dumb.
No, I still could have gone through the five things. I still could have proven why they were wrong. But my goal, and the reason I didn't do that tonight was because my goal was I want to hold their feet to the fire. I want to pin them against the wall and force them to admit that, yeah, this is wrong. And then move on to the next, because that's the thing. That's why I called my book Foundational Falsehoods, because there are things, there are lies these people will never concede. And that's why they didn't show up.
I think that's the best way to do it. All right, guys, we got four more and then we're done. SJ says, Arnon Ra wants to debate Jesus' resurrection. You answered that one. James Hoag says that Steve is sexy, Steve is sexy, Steve is sexy, Steve is. Doily88 says, Aaron, who's worse, creationists or flat earthers?
Flat earthers are extreme creationists. They are creationists.
They're a subset, yeah.
Just worse.
Mm. Most of them are subsets, yeah.
Okay, let's see. The retro Mixie says nothing to say. Enjoy the super chat. Ethan Monothrith says, could Arn clarify why he doesn't buy the stoned ape theory? What's wrong with Tara McKenna's hypothesis? You said you weren't familiar with it, so you haven't even read what Terrence McKenna said, have you, Arn?
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
it's an interesting hypothesis, but it's one of those things that, you know, might have a grain of truth to it, but I don't think it really
for a long time people were promoting aquatic ape theory as if it had some
credence. that was crap
yeah, and I remember reading the arguments for aquatic ape theory and then showing how they were all bullshit before I saw what was the source, but the source of it of some little old lady on TED Talks who had no idea what she was talking about.
Okay.
She was all a right, charming little old lady. They brought her out this huge lazy boy chair and she sat there and told her little stories and it was just adorable, but it was complete bullshit.
Which, speaking of voices and things, there's a lot of talk about the kinds thing when we get into this sort of debate. If you haven't checked out Prophet of Zod's video about doors and windows, go check that out, guys, because it's a really well done, I think, analogy of pointing out how dumb that argument is. Mark Beiser says Aaron should wear horns in hangouts and at debates. Brian Stevens says drinking shots contest between SJ and Aaron. Deal. And Danny Flo says, Arn, listening to you helped me realize that the church has nothing. I became an atheist last summer. It changed my life. Thank you very much. And Attila the One says, stoned ape hypothesis is probably unfeasible. And last super chat of the night, SJ says, is it weird that Arn won't debate me in the resurrection?
Not really.
No, it's not.
I wouldn't debate her either on it. I have no interest in the topic, to be honest with you. It's just, you know, just because talk about it doesn't mean that you want to debate everybody that comes around on certain topics. I have no interest in debating resurrection either.
Can we find something? Can we find anything more vacuous than that?
You know, yeah.
I can't. What topic would be more pointless? I saw this movie where there was a bunch of church people in the Middle Ages. You know, like the 1400s or so, or maybe earlier, and they were going to have this, you know, this scholarly debate over whether Jesus owned his own clothing, the fuck, that's completely empty. But that's the kind of debates that, you know, that believers are happy with. Why? I don't know. If there's no way, one, there's no way to win, and two, it's void.
It's just speculation, really.
There's no way to win on either side.
Right. Yeah, because you can't. Yeah, that's dumb. Lysandrin says, tell Aaron Lysandrin equals Ronald. I wonder if that's cryptic enough. I always enjoy my two favorite content creators together in one show. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm gonna leave you guys with this. I posted it in Twitter. So if you haven't seen this video, you're not going to be able to really tell now, but I just want you to see this gentleman as we lead into this weekend and we have another Flatterday night about the flat earth. This guy right here, his name is Brooks. Brooks is a 95-year-old scientist. He was a rocket scientist at NASA. When I went to officiate Dallas Engineer and Casey's wedding this past weekend, we took a trip to the NASA center that they had there in Huntsville. And Brooks was there inside of the NASA center, standing at the what they call the brain of the Saturn V rocket, the big ring with all the solar panels on it, just kind of standing there. And I went up to him with my camera and did probably about 15 minutes of a conversation with him. That's going to be in a video coming out later this week. But he's also going to come on the show the third week in April, or the third Thursday in April. But I was talking to him and listening to him talk and the stories that he was telling me just in those 15 minutes. This man is 95 years old. 95 years old. And spent 64 years at NASA. And how does he spend his spare time when he could just be, you know, lying around and doing nothing? He puts on that NASA lab coat and he goes to that center and he volunteers to answer any kind of kids' questions that they have and try to explain things and the stories that he went through in all those years at NASA. How anyone can think that just by watching some YouTube videos that the Earth is fucking flat is beyond ludicrous, because the spark in this man's eye, when you watch him, and you go on my Twitter feed and watch a little snippet of it, when you watch him talk about the things he saw, the projects that he worked on, and just the experience that he had there, so much so that he goes back there day after day to volunteer to answer people's questions. You cannot fake that. I'm sorry, but you cannot fake that. And just because you watch a couple of hours on YouTube and you're part of some jaded persecution club and you feel like the government's lied to you, you can't take away 64 years of what this man has contributed to this country. And I just want people to think about that. When you see this video, it will really it'll really inspire you. I think he's a he acts like he's younger than I do, but I asked him at the end of our talk on the video if he would be interested in coming on and us going through when he got to Huntsville and some of the projects they'd worked on. And he said, yeah, I do. I do interviews like that all the time. So I think that's going to be a really cool thing, and I'm really glad that we came across him. So just look for that. But, yeah, if you believe the Earth's flat, fuck you. That's the takeaway from that. Aaron, any last-minute words that you want to say before we close out for tonight?
No, my next gig, I'm going to be in Richmond, Virginia for the Saved by Science Dare to Care conference. It's a humanist conference in Richmond, Virginia. And that is on, I forget the date. It's the weekend before the American Atheist one, so it's like the 13th or something like that. The 14th and 15th. And so, I'll be in Richmond for that.
Excellent. And once again, make sure that you check out in the description if you're watching this later. Aaron's Patreon will be linked below. What he does is important. And obviously, you can tell from a lot of the super chats, and even myself included, that he has helped a lot of people in getting through following blindly what people tell you that you should, and actively inspiring you to go and find the answers out for yourself. And we need more people like that out there doing that that very tough job, and it takes support of you guys to keep that going. So make sure that if you are able, that you check that out and become a patron of Aaron. All of his videos are great and they're educational, and you will the thing that you did with the three-part series with the pastor, what was his name?
Cornelius.
Yes, that was golden. That was golden.
thank you very much.
So, yeah, check him out, guys. Steve, any last-minute words from you before we say goodbye?
By the way, as many of you guys know, communities on G+ are now defunct, disabled, and dead. This was something a long time coming. Google has been changing things. So the Great Debate community has migrated. We are now on Facebook, and we're on WeWe, mostly on Facebook. I put the link in the live chat, but if not, you can go find us later on, Great Debate community on Facebook. So I just wanted to thank all the people that invested a lot of time and effort. Dave here, our producer, was a moderator, and most people here were actually members of the G+ Great Debate community. And I think that already we've had 300 or 400 people already migrate to Facebook from the core group. So it lives on in that regard. But I just want to thank all the people that put all the effort over all the years on G+. And by the way, I did save the data. Okay, so if you had a post that you wanted to go for historical purposes, ever you find again, I will be trying to upload that to the webpage, which is www.greatdebatecommunity.com. And also the wiki was taken down by Wiki Fandom. I have all that data as well. So we'll continue on with that.
Yeah, I just want to say one. I just noticed that I got three new patrons. So yay. No doubt that was due to this show. So thank you all.
Excellent.
Yeah. Excellent. See, you get your patron coming on here in some way.
This is what. This is the point in the show where if I had known that Standing for Truth and Raw Matt would have shown up the way that they did, I would be pointing to a pretty little graphic on your screen that would show a list of faces from Mr. King to Hovind to George Lujak and so on and so on and so forth. And we would throw instantly Standing for Truth and Raw Matt up on the bitch made list. But the body count has now risen to a whopping 15-0 here on the Non-Sequitur Show with Arn Ra. So just like the Undertaker at WrestleMania, the bell has tolled for you.
Good night. Can we be done with these guys now? Can we be done for Standing for Truth in perpetuity now?
Yeah, unless they agree. You know, we'll see what happens. But good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.